This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Sports royalty is on the air. This is the only show with so much talent and expert analysis, it can barely be contained. Jump on now or it'll pass you by. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back. Your home for everything. We mean everything. Sports. Your flamethrower, known as Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. I'm Scott Criscolo, of course. Great show, as always, this week, as we are down the home stretch of this 2015 NFL season. And I'm going to bring it back up before we... obviously, we'll go over the games for this coming week. Still plenty of big games. Big game going on right now out in the desert. And we'll touch on it briefly as the night progresses. And, of course, big games on Sunday as well. And a question that I want to bring up to the panel tonight, including one of them who was not able to be here, who could not hear it last week. I got a great question that's been boggling my mind this 2015 NFL season. We will also talk winter meetings, because a lot of moving and shaking. The last time we were on, the Red Sox had made a big move, and since then the Mets have made a couple of moves, and maybe the biggest winner of the winter meetings might have been the Arizona Diamondbacks of all teams. We'll get into that as well. The college football playoff is complete. The four teams are in, so the semifinals are set. We'll chat about that as well. A little college hoops, a little bit of everything. But first, let me bring in my guy. Small crew tonight, but plenty of knowledge. This guy got all of his Patriots ranting in last week. I know he probably doesn't care as much this week, but he can get a little bit in because we were expecting something very different than what happened this past Sunday in Foxborough. And that is Cowboy Senior.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm well, sir. You're not really miffed, are you?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, we'll talk about it anyway, though.
Yeah.
Cowboy Jr. not with us tonight. He has, let's say, business interests this evening involving the game. Not really. But he also has some technical issues as well. But that's all right, Jr. We will we'll man the fort for you. And also, my man Schmitty, Keith Schmidt. What's up?
Not much, Scott. I'm knee-deep in this hot stove season, so... I'm loving it.
It's awesome. I believe next week we're going to try and get our man Joel Barnhart on and kind of tie a bow on the winter meetings, too. We'll talk about it tonight, too, but we'll have Joel... We'll see if we can get Joel on next week to talk about all the big moves. But before we talk baseball, why don't we dive right into the NFL season and, of course, things going on at the moment and... teams still undefeated. Well, one team is still undefeated, and that is the Carolina Panthers. Great game tonight right now out in the desert in the toaster. That's what I call University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale because it looks like a toaster. The Arizona Cardinals hosting the Minnesota Vikings. About 7.5 to go in the first quarter. Cardinals have a 3-0 lead. Before we get into this week's games, guys, obviously let's talk briefly about some of the things that happened last week. And, of course, let's talk about what happened in Foxborough, where the Patriots, for the first time, I shouldn't say this, but I really can't remember the last time the Pats lost two in a row, much less lost a very winnable game at home. They lose 35-28 to the Eagles. Schmitty, what happened? I know we've talked about injuries the last couple of weeks, but do you think that was it?
Well, I think the injuries played some part of it, but turnovers and special teams mm-hmm. killed them. It really killed them. Belichick, with 3 minutes left in the game, two timeouts, and he goes for the onside kick. I did not agree with that decision. I think they had all the momentum after they had scored two quick touchdowns. I think they should have kicked that ball off. Play defense, three and out, get the ball back with maybe a minute and a half. and let Brady do his thing, but he decided to go for the onside kick and made it a lot harder. But it was a very disappointing game as a Patriots fan. Very uncharacteristic of that team. But, you know, hey, they're due to have one stinker a year, and that was it right there.
And they still only lost by a touchdown.
Yeah, they still had a chance to win that game. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
They were down by 21, and all of a sudden, here they come.
Mm.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, I'd like to, if Brandon LaFell would have held on to that slant pass, it may have been a different outcome. On that final drive, I believe, I don't know if it was the first or the second down play, but he had a slant, and he had it pretty open in front of him. He probably could have gained another 20 yards there. But he dropped it. And Amendola dropped one. Who was the final one? Was it Chandler that dropped the last? No, Keyshawn Martin, and that was that.
Mm.
But what are you going to do? We'll get him this week.
Mm. Thoughts, Senior?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we can talk about the injuries, but obviously the margin of error for the Patriots isn't as great as it normally is. And even if they have their whole team and you have a large margin of error, when you have three touchdowns against you with your defense on the bench, a punt return, a blocked punt, and an interception when you're in the red zone, when you're knocking on the door at the 9-yard line, and a pick six goes 100 yards the other way, those 21 points scored with the defense on the bench, it's really hard to win a football game when you give up 21 points with your defense on the bench. I'm not saying the defense was terrific in the game, but they weren't that bad. They gave up 14 points. We can live with that. The whole injury thing, I think the way the offense played with Brady getting beat up, and part of it is offensive line play, which has been struggling lately, no doubt about it, and part of that is injuries. But also a big part of it is he's having to hold on to the ball longer because he doesn't have Julian Edelman and Gronk, where at the beginning of the year, up until these last few weeks with all the injuries, we were hearing the statistics about the amount of seconds, the 1.8 or whatever the average was, that he was getting rid of the ball, and he was getting the ball out so quick that it, that protected the offensive line. He can't do that anymore because there's nobody getting open that quick anymore. You know, Edelman is the guy that makes those quick cuts and the quick passes, and also Deion Lewis was really good with that, too. So I think they get Edelman and Gronk back, it's a whole different thing. Now, what I had said last week was I'm honestly not as concerned about wins and losses the rest of this regular season as I am about being healthy for the playoffs. And I think this game illustrated my point. I think you go into the playoffs with this personnel that they have now, You can't expect to run the table. There's no way you can expect to go all the way with this team. You have to be healthier than this.
Right.
So basically healthy, I give them a good chance against any team in the AFC, and that's what who they have to beat to get to the Super Bowl, whether they're on their home field or even if they have to travel. If the Patriots are healthy, they can travel and beat anybody. If they're not healthy, I don't care if they're playing home or away, they're not going to the Super Bowl with this personnel. So that's why I don't think you rush anybody back. I don't think you risk anything. I think the main goal has to be to get healthy for the playoffs. And if I can take one positive take out of last week's game, it's the play of James White. I'm not saying he was Deion Lewis, but he emerged as a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield and do something with it after the catch. Maybe not quite be as good as Deion Lewis, but be a viable guy, and they need a guy to do that in that offense. Brady likes to throw to his running back coming out of the backfield, and I think James White will be able to show at least some sign that he'll be able to handle that role for the rest of the way, because Deion's one guy that's not coming back. So I'll take that positive out of it, and honestly, all I care about is them getting healthy right now.
Mm. Now, let me throw this out there, though. I mostly agree with you that wins and losses aren't that big a deal. However, wins and losses in the regular season. However, we are talking about guys that need to get healthy, Edelman and Gronk and Lewis. But right now, the Pats would have to play a wild card game. They're sitting at third in the East right now because the Bengals, the Broncos, and the Pats are all 10-2. Obviously, the Broncos beat the Pats, so they get the tiebreaker there. And the Bengals have the best conference record. Actually, they have a half game better conference record than the Pats do. So if the playoffs started today, the Pats would have to host the Jets in the wild card game. Can they beat the Jets at Foxborough? Of course they can. They've done it in the past. But the Jets are the kind of team that could hit the shit out of you for four quarters and make things a little more uncomfortable heading into the following week. So I'd like to think that at worst, the Pats would at least try to get the two and get a week off. So I will say this to you guys. I'm not going to say that wins and losses aren't crucial, because I think they'll win they got a three-game lead in the division. But probably wouldn't hurt to get that week off.
No, you know? I'm not. I know that that's important, and I'm not saying it's not important to get the bye, Scott. What I'm saying is it's more important to be healthy.
I agree.
Where if it comes down to risking someone bringing him back a little early before he's ready, a Gronk, say, or a Julian, for the purpose of getting that bye, I wouldn't do it, because I think being healthy for the playoffs is more important than the bye. And that's not saying that the bye isn't important. Certainly we'd much rather have the bye. But when you're coming down to making those personnel decisions, it's not like they're in a position where they're going to be eliminated. So you got to rush people back because you want to make the playoffs. It's a position of, if they're ready to come back, it's great. But if it's a risk of getting them hurt for the playoffs, you don't rush them back.
Right. Okay.
I think that takes precedence. That is by no means saying that the bye isn't important. No, obviously the bye still is important. And it's third now, but certainly not third because of tiebreaker. And certainly not out of the realm of possibility that they do get the bye, because if you look at the schedules, like starting this week right away, Cincinnati's got a really tough game this week. They're playing Pittsburgh. Cincinnati and Denver still have to play each other, so someone's going to lose that game. Denver's got some tough games. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they get the bye.
Does that loss to Denver
I'm
come back and haunt them,
paramount.
You think? Do you think that loss to Denver comes back and haunts them?
It could, as far as getting a bye goes. Obviously, it could. Yeah, if you get into a tiebreaker with Denver, you lose it. So,
right.
That's possible.
If the playoffs started today, the wild card games would be the Jets would go to Foxborough, and we'll talk about this every week. Jets head to Foxborough, and in a game that I would love to see, because it was probably in the last few years, probably one of the greatest playoff games I ever watched. The Chiefs would go back to Indianapolis. If you remember, guys, that Chiefs-Colts wildcard game, what was it, like maybe 2 years ago?
When the
Chiefs were winning big, and then like Andrew Luck threw for like 380 yards in the fourth quarter or something crazy thing. And then the byes would go to the Bengals and the Broncos. In the NFC right now, the wild card games would be Seattle at Green Bay. That's a wild card game. Interesting. Rematch, of course, last year's NFC Championship. And the who would have thunk that one of the wild card games would be the Vikings at Washington? what a God's name. And obviously the Cardinals and Arizona, who's already clinched the division. I know they clinched the playoff spot. They win the division? Let me see. Yes. So the Panthers have already clinched the South. So they're sitting back, and they would probably play the Redskins if the high seeds win both games, and Green Bay would go to Arizona, which would be a fantastic football game. Anyway, we got plenty of games to talk about, though, before. I mean, that could change in a heartbeat. And the Vikings have scored, so they're up 7-3 with a little under 4 minutes to go. All right. Let's talk about Sunday. Two teams. There's a lot of must wins for like middle of the road teams this week, guys. Not just at the high end of the list, but the low end of the list, or in the middle wild card spots. And one of them is in Philly, where the team we have just talked about, the aforementioned Eagles, hosts Buffalo. Big game for both teams. What do you think, Schmitty?
This is a tough one. Philly's at home, so obviously they got the advantage there. They're coming off a big win.
It's tough.
It is.
The Bills' defense on paper is better. I mean, Bradford didn't play awful against the Patriots. I don't know. It's a pick 'em for me.
Yeah, it's very, very close. I mean, I'll give Philadelphia the edge being at home, I think the rosters are kind of even. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Philadelphia run game. I mean, Ryan Matthews is supposed to come back this week. And they got a big problem with DeMarco Murray. He's not very happy. He didn't get many carries last week.
Glad they spent all the money.
But I think personally think Ryan Matthews is a better fit in that system anyway, between him and Sproles.
So. Eagles are idiots. They never should have signed him anyway.
Yeah, well, this will be a turnover game. Whichever team turned the ball over more will lose this game. But I think it's pretty even.
Mm.
If it was in Buffalo, I would definitely take Buffalo.
Me too.
But Philly having the home field advantage, I mean, I think it's close enough.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I'll go with Philly in this one.
What do you think, Senior?
I'm definitely going to go the other way. I like Buffalo in this game. The only thing I could say good about Philly in it is home field. I mean, I'm supposed to be impressed with their win last week, I guess, but no, I still don't think they were that impressive. Yeah, the special team stuff was real good and stuff, but I like Buffalo's defense to be able to that Philly's not going to be able to get that much done against them. And I just got a feeling that Shady's riding back into Philly and
yeah,
is going to stomp all over to Chip Kelly. That's just what I think.
And I still think the Eagles as and we talked about this a little bit last week, as much as they did win a big game Sunday, I still think that the players have kind of given up on Chip and the whole mess. And you talked about turnovers. I'm just not a big Sam Bradford guy. I think he's going to make a mistake. And I agree with you, Senior. I think Shady's going to go in there and run on him. So I think I like the Bills in this one too, even on the road. Tractor pull game possibly here. The 49ers head into Cleveland. Niners with a big road win last week. The Browns are the Browns. What do you think, Senior?
Well, I definitely like the 49ers. The last few weeks, they've actually shown some signs of life.
Yeah, I agree.
Even in the losses, they've played pretty well. Their defense is stepping up and playing better. The Browns are a joke.
They are.
The Browns' defense is terrible. And you know what? And I'm going to throw this one right at Schmitty.
Yeah.
They've got a big improvement going on at quarterback. And it's hard to believe. I know you stomped all over him. This guy, he's a huge improvement from Colin Kaepernick. If you've been watching their games, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And he's playing, I know you called him the P word, but he's really playing with some toughness and looking like he's taken hold of this team and revived his career. What do you think, Schmitty? Am I seeing an aberration, or is the guy really looking like him? He's looking like a solid NFL quarterback with some leadership skills. Seems like the team's rallying around him. It almost makes me think, if you notice, since he's been the quarterback, they're playing better. Not only on offense, but on defense. It almost makes me think that Kaepernick wasn't a popular guy in that locker room, that maybe he was a little bit of a jerk. And it gave the team a lift to have him get sat down. What do you think, Keith?
Yeah, I got it. I have to eat some crow here. It's been, 3 weeks now, and you're right. I called Blaine Gabbert to the carpet. I called him a pretty vicious word, pretty vicious name, and I got to eat crow. He did it the first week against Seattle, and I said, it's because they didn't blitz him. And then he did it again against Arizona. I mean, he lost both of those games, but he didn't play too bad. And then last week, that was pretty impressive, beating Chicago. I mean, he's making the right decisions. He gets the ball out quick. He's accurate. He actually looks like a pretty good quarterback.
And body language-wise, doesn't he look so different? He's got a look about him of a guy that feels like he's in command. He's got that look.
When I made that statement about Gabbert, it was from his days in Jacksonville.
And I remember watching him
just literally cowl. I mean, just here come the rush, and he would just duck his arms down. It was terrible. I couldn't believe I was watching an NFL quarterback back then. But I don't know what they did to him, but they got him playing pretty well. And I got to eat crow, and I think he's going to get another victory here. I think they're going to beat Cleveland. Cleveland's a mess. Johnny Manziel starting, I don't know.
I agree. I think it's an easy win for San Francisco.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think this is mostly I think this is an opportunity for Manziel to be shown off to other teams. I think that's really what the Browns are doing at this point. I think it's a showcase game for him to impress other teams so they can, you know, so they could trade him. But I like the 49ers too. A team that's suddenly playing with some vigor is the Detroit Lions, coming off that brutal loss last Thursday to the Packers. Face mask or no face mask, you just don't give up a 61-yard Hail Mary in the end of the game. Sorry, you just don't. You just don't let a tight end post up on you like Shaq and just let you catch a ball. Sorry. Face mask or no face mask. And honestly, if he didn't hit him at all, how did Aaron Rodgers get up with his helmet like half off his face? But there was some awful officiating in that game anyway, which is par for the course for all four North American sports. The Lions head into St. Louis to take on a Rams team that, you know, looks great, looks, you know, solid 1 week and flat the next. You got two coaches who just seem very deflated. Jim Caldwell, Jeff Fisher. I don't know if they have any drive left in them. Rams have lost five straight. Couple of games close. Last 2 weeks, not even close. Lions have won three of their last five. I think I like the Lions on the road here. What do you think, Schmitty?
I don't know. That was a pretty deflating loss for Detroit last week. They had hopes of running the table and possibly getting a wild card spot, and that all but ended last week. So they're pretty deflated. The Rams, I mean, I can't figure that team out. That's such a Jekyll and Hyde team.
Aren't they?
They are. It's ridiculous. They should be a hell of a lot better than what they are with the talent they have, especially defensively. I think Detroit still has a little more talent, especially offensively. It'll be hard for St. Louis to move the ball. I'm sure Detroit's going to load that box and try to stop Gurley. Gurley will still get his, but I don't think it'll be enough. Detroit by, four to seven.
Okay. What do you think, Senior?
Now, the only thing that would make me say Rams is the fact that they're a better team. You know, some teams it means more than others, and they certainly play quite a bit better at home than they do on the road. Mm-hmm. Detroit, same way, you know, really bad road record. Both of these teams are 1-4 on the road. And, you know, they're both like 500 teams at home. So that makes you favor the Rams, except if you've been watching the games lately. The fear is that Detroit, even with the home road thing, because of the way they've been playing lately, the fear is that the way they lost that game could just knock the life right out of them.
Yep.
And that wouldn't be shocking. But they're certainly playing better. And that, Brian Billick had the best tweet on that game. Mm-hmm. After that game, Brian Billick put out on Twitter because it's kind of Detroit's one of those organizations that bad things tend to always happen to. You know, you start to have hope with the Lions and something bad happens. It's always going to be something bad. And what Brian Billick wrote was, I'll see your Cleveland and raise you my Detroit. that was really good, I thought. I thought it was pretty clever. But all that being said, yeah, I guess I got to go what I've seen on the field recently and say I think Detroit's a better football team right now. And if they can pick themselves up by their bootstraps and should come out and show a little pride, I think they can beat the Rams. So I'll say Detroit also.
I think so too. Let's head down to Tampa. The Bucs host New Orleans in a division that's already clinched, but both teams with wild card dreams, even the Saints at 4-8. They've lost four in a row. Couple of close games, couple of ugly games. While Tampa's won three of their last five, including a win at home over the Falcons last week. Jameis Winston, 17 touchdowns. He has thrown 11 picks as a rookie still, though. Doug Martin's dipped into the fountain of something, over 1,000 yards. I don't know, guys. I like Tampa here. I think Jameis Winston plays some inspired ball at home. I think Lovie Smith fires these guys up for a big game, a game I don't think after 12 weeks they would have thought, or 13 weeks, they'd have thought they'd have a game at 6-6. I don't know. I like the Bucs. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, you know, and you look at New Orleans and you say last week, okay, I mean, they've been losing, but last week they came damn close to ending the undefeated season of Carolina if they could play any defense at all.
I know, really.
They would have won the game. But again, that was New Orleans at home, and they're certainly a team that's always been a lot better at home and on the road, and their defense really is that terrible.
And, I mean, they're giving up almost 439 yards per game, over 300 through the air. I don't know if that bodes well for Jameis Winston, but maybe.
Here's a pretty good comment on that, on famous Jameis. They did a thing on the NFL Network today on one of their shows, or ESPN. It was something I was watching today, where they had their analysts on, and they played Guess the Quarterback. And they showed two guys' statistics. They just showed the statistics with no name. And the hint was, these two guys play in the NFC South. They both play in the NFC South. And their statistics were almost identical. One was Cam Newton, one was Jameis Winston. Yep. They didn't show the running numbers. They showed their passing statistics, both of them. And they were literally practically identical. Jameis Winston's having a really good rookie year. You know,
he is.
We've had two quarterbacks arrive this year in those top two picks, and as rookies, they've really performed well. And yeah, I can't see them losing this game at home. Not at home to the Saints. The Saints aren't going to go in there and beat them. The Bucs have a lot to play for, so certainly I see the Bucs putting up a lot of points, maybe giving some up too, but I see Tampa at home and Jameis getting the job done.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on that. New Orleans, Mark Ingram, they placed him on injured reserve. So now they're down to the disappointing C.J. Spiller and Tim Hightower. So the running game took a big hit. And Brandon Cooks got a concussion in practice. So he might not play this week.
Mm.
So if he doesn't play and you're down Ingram, they're going to have a hard time scoring points. Well, Tampa doesn't have the best defense in the world, but New Orleans defense is putrid. I can see 500 yards of offense for the Bucs. And the Doug Martin, you said the fountain of something.
Yeah.
It's the fountain of
running wild. Yeah.
It's my contract year. Pay me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really like that offense, the Tampa offense. And now it's at basically full strength because Seraphin Jenkins is back, the tight end. And now you've got Vincent Jackson on one side and Evans on the other. With Doug Martin doing what he's doing, and also Charlie Sims too. That's a very good offense.
Yeah,
that's a very good offense. I can see them putting a spanking on New Orleans this week.
I mean, just fathom this, guys. The Bucs win this game, they'll be 7-6.
Yep. I told you they're going to finish with a better record than the Falcons.
I mean, we'll talk about the Falcons in a minute. Oh my God, let's go to the Meadowlands, where the Jets coming off a nice win over the Giants, come from behind in the fourth quarter and win in overtime. They've won two straight. They're 7-5. The Titans coming off a shootout win over the Jags. I think every game from here on out is almost must win for the Jets.
Absolutely.
They got to keep pace. I like them in this game. I think the defense will play well. I think they'll harass Mariota. I don't know if Revis will be back this week, but I don't think the Jet defense will have to worry about the secondary getting hurt that bad. I like the Jets. What do you think, Schmitty?
Yeah, I like the Jets in this game. They're going to turn Tennessee one-dimensional. They won't. They have a hard time running the ball anyway, and then against this front, they won't run the ball whatsoever. So. That makes the defensive scheme a little easier. And like you said, this is a must-win. I mean, Pittsburgh is right on their heels. So, you know, the Jets have no margin for error whatsoever, especially with the Patriots still on their schedule again.
Right.
You know, Pittsburgh's tied with them. I think the Jets might have the tiebreaker right now, but Pittsburgh is hot. And I don't see them losing too many more games this year. So if the Jets lose this game, I think this season is over.
Senior, what do you think?
Yeah, simply put, the Jets have a lot to play for. Jets are a much better team. Tennessee's, they scored points last week against Jacksonville, but Tennessee's offense really hasn't been a high-scoring offense. I don't see them being able to mount much against the Jets. Yeah, better team wins. Better team with a lot to play for wins, no doubt. Jets just out-physical them and beat them.
Okay. One of the biggest games of the week, and you just mentioned this team, Schmitty. Steelers head into Cincinnati. big game with the Bengals and a big game for the Bengals. This is a big game for both teams. Bengals realized that, you know, they've caught a break and are now tied, and suddenly they went from being probably second in the AFC right now to tops in the AFC, based on tiebreakers and what's happened with the Pats the last couple weeks. Big Ben should play. Hopefully Tyler Eifert plays. He's probable on Sunday. Bengals have rebounded from those two straight losses with convincing wins over two pretty awful teams. Steelers looked very good in blowing out the Colts. You know what's weird about this game, guys? I always feel, and look, if you've listened to all the years, including on the Place B podcast, where Justin and I always have our debates about Andy Dalton, because I watched a lot of Andy Dalton in college when he was at TCU. I like Andy Dalton. Justin hates him. And yes, there's games where he could throw stinkers, whether at home or on the road. I mean, I could see Andy Dalton laying a fart in this one, but at home, big opportunity, chance to kind of knock the Steelers down a peg or two. I don't think it happens. I like the Bengals at home. What do you think, Senior?
Man, this is game of the week as far as I'm concerned, because, I mean, with Ben playing now, this is the real Steelers. That offense is clicking on all cylinders right now, and they're devastating. But then again, you know, when people talk about the great defenses in the NFL, the Bengals' name very rarely comes up. But as Bill Belichick would always say, if you look at the most important stat on defense, points against, they've got the lowest in the whole NFL. They're the only one under 200 right now. So their defense is really solid, really good, without getting a lot of notoriety because there aren't a lot of huge, flashy names on their defense. They're just a really good, solid group. And they also score a lot of points. So, you know, part of me wants to pick the Steelers to win this game because I love their offense. They're really fun to watch.
And they are.
They got it going on all cylinders now. But the Bengals at home, I'm not saying they're going to shut them down, but maybe do what they do and don't get a bunch of points scored on them. They're not going to get 45 put on them like Indy did. And the Bengals offense is going to be able to get something done against that Steelers D. So, yeah, I can't pick against the Bengals at home in this game. I see the Bengals winning a game, probably played in the, 31-24, 31-27 range. A good game, Bengals win at home.
And if the Bengals win, division champions. So I'm sure they'd like to get that out of the way, too. What do you think, Schmitty?
Yeah, I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to take the Steelers to win.
Ooh, there you go.
I am. I think that offense is borderline unstoppable when Ben is in there. I mean, D'Angelo Williams, it's not much of a drop-off from Le'Veon Bell to him. I can't believe I'm saying that, but so far the results have shown that. Antonio Brown is unguardable. Montavious Bryant is another beast. Even Wheaton's getting in the mix. You know, they get I don't know if Heath Miller's coming back, but he should be back this week. That offense, unstoppable. This is a defining moment for Cincinnati. It's not on in primetime, but it's basically a primetime game for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy Dalton's going to have to earn his money on this one.
Yep.
Any mistakes, and they're going to lose.
I agree.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, this can't be a three-pick game.
No, a three-pick game, they'll get blown out.
Yeah, they've got
it. I see it as a close game, but I trust Ben more than I do Andy Dalton.
Okay.
This is the game that you circle on your calendar this week and say, this is the game if you could only watch one football game this weekend, I think this is the one you watch.
I agree.
It should be game.
I'm kind of upset that it's on at 1 o'clock because it kind of take. I like to watch the red zone at 1, you know, this – eight or nine games going
right
on at once.
Yeah.
But I would know I'm going to be focused on this game a lot coming this Sunday.
Well, for both you guys, very important. So,
yeah. Well, to be honest, I'd actually rather see Cincinnati win. I don't want to see Pittsburgh get in the playoffs. My opinion, that's the only team in the AFC that scares me is Pittsburgh, because I think they have a better offense than the Patriots do. especially without Deion Lewis.
Well, right, exactly.
When Gronk and Edelman are back, I mean, it'll be a very good game. It'll be, like I just said, whoever makes the mistake loses, but that offense is unstoppable to me.
A team that was looking pretty good for a few weeks and then got mollywomped on Sunday by the aforementioned Steelers, the luckless Colts, will go back to Hasselbeck, although he's kind of banged up too. They head to Jacksonville. I think I like the Jags in this game. I think I do. Bortles has played pretty well the last few weeks. You know, he's having a much better season than I think anybody anticipated. They're fairly healthy. Obviously, issues at wide receiver for the Colts. A couple linebackers banged up. I think I like the Jags at home. Schmitty, what do you think?
Well, I think these teams are somewhat even. I really do, talent-wise.
Mm.
Offensively, I should say. No. Defensively, I think Indy might have a few more veterans on that defense. You know, and Hasselbeck, between Hasselbeck and Bortles, Bortles will probably make more mistakes than Hasselbeck would. But I'm gonna go on Jacksonville being at home. In the Indy usually doesn't play as well in the outdoors as they do in the dome. So I'll give Jacksonville by a field goal.
Okay. Senior, you gonna make it a clean sweep?
No. Not that I'm a big supporter.
Of all weeks, you picked the Colts.
I just can't find it in me to pick Jacksonville to beat them. You know, that neither team has trouble stopping anybody. I mean, the Colts just had a 45 burger put on them by, okay, arguably the best offense in the league last week. Jacksonville's defense got torched by a Tennessee offense that, let's face it, is mediocre at best. I mean, they gave away an 87-yard touchdown run by a quarterback. Their defense is just ugly. And what I said about the Colts, and I think maybe we'll make you the way Houston's playing now, a little exception to that, but at the beginning of this year was that they would dominate in their division. I didn't know they were going to lose luck. That does change things a little.
But, right.
And they'd get killed when they stepped out of that division because it's a bad division. And besides making Houston a little exception, it's still a bad division. So I'm going to say that the Colts go to 4-0. They're 3-0 right now in that division. They haven't lost a game yet, and I think they're a little better than Jacksonville. I think their defense might stop Jacksonville a couple of times, or Bortles might turn it over, which he tends to do a little bit, and Jacksonville just can't stop anybody. So I see the Colts. I'm going to say the Colts are going to win this game.
One game that Jet fans, including my PIC, will be paying attention to is at Arrowhead. The Chiefs hosting San Diego. They crushed the Chargers by 30 out there. You want to talk about a team that's playing with ridiculous confidence. They lose their best offensive player for the season. I mean, let's be honest, guys. When the Coach of the Year votes come in at the end of the year, I don't think he'll win it, but you got to give Andy Reid some votes. Five straight wins without your star running back. I think they sweep the season series from the Chargers. They go to 8-5, and I think they keep the heat on the Jets and the other teams in the wild card.
I think haven't they won 6 in a row?
Is it 6? Yeah, they were 1-5, right?
They were 1-5.
You're right. Yeah. I'm sorry, 6 in a row. You're right. Yep, 6 in a row.
And a lot of it, they may have lost their best running back, but what's stepping up for these guys is their defense. Their defense is really playing well. Their defense is raising havoc. Alex Smith is playing solid at quarterback, and they're still getting some running. They're getting some running game even without. It seems like no matter who they plug in at running back, they get running game. Their offensive line obviously is a good run blocking offensive line. They just play solid football. Alex Smith is what he is. He doesn't make mistakes. Doesn't turn the ball over and put that defense in a bad way. Gets enough done. They run the ball enough. They make enough plays here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego's terrible.
They really are.
This is an easy. This is an easy game. The Chiefs walk to this victory. The Chiefs are really playing well. Got to give it to them. And poor. As good as I say, San Diego's terrible. I really like Phillip Rivers, but he doesn't have much on the weapons side right now with all the injuries.
And their defense is horrendous.
Yeah, and their defense, you can just do whatever you want against them. So, yeah, I don't see the Chargers having any chance in this game.
Yeah. Clean sweep, Schmitty?
Clean sweep, yeah. I mean, Rivers, even this week, I don't think Stevie Johnson's going to play this week either. So now he's really throwing. He's got the two tight ends and the running backs.
Wes Chandler?
Sheesh, unbelievable.
John Jefferson walks through the door? I don't know.
Yes.
Another team that needs to keep winning if they're going to keep pace is the Redskins, and they head into Chicago this week to take on the Bears, who come off a tough home loss in overtime to the Niners. This is a tough an ugly loss Monday night to the Cowboys in what was an ugly game.
Yes, it
was. I don't know. I think I like the Bears at home. I think they rebound. I think Cutler ends up having a good game. I know he's probable to play. I know he's banged up, but I'm sure he'll play. I think I like the Bears at home in this game. Even though they've only one of their five wins. You have a crappy home team against a terrible road team. But I think I like the Bears in this one. What do you think, Schmitty?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like either one of these teams. But
I don't either. It's more like lesser of two evils, you know?
Yeah. I think I'll take the home team in Chicago, even though I thought they were going to win last week against San Francisco. So, I mean, in Washington and San Fran, not too much of a difference there.
Mm.
This is a very big game for Washington. I mean, you know, the division is on the line. But I see Chicago outscoring Washington. I think their offense is better than Washington's. Yeah, I'll say Chicago by a field goal.
Mm. Okay. Senior? I think so, too.
Yeah. It is a weird game when you got the team that's on the road is 0-5 on the road, and the team that's at home is 1-5 at home.
I know.
And also, you have two teams with identical records. They're both 5-7. Only one of them's in first place.
Tells you how great that NFC East is. I'm so proud.
So, as crazy as it is, and when you, it's like a flip a coin game. It really is. I'm going to pick Washington just because they should be more motivated. They have more to play for. I think I saw today. Yeah, it's kind of a hard thing to say as a factor, but I think Jay Cutler's a guy with a fragile psyche. He always has been.
Right.
And I saw his father-in-law died yesterday.
Oh.
The death in the family can kind of. Can kind of mess with you, too.
Yep.
You know, it can mess with your focus. And I think Cutler's the kind of guy who can get out of focus pretty easy. So it could be another little factor.
Mm.
But, yeah, the two 5-7 teams play each other that neither one of them wins in the home road situation they're in. I'll take the team that's in first place at 5-7 simply because they should be more motivated.
Okay.
So I'll take the Redskins.
Not everybody is Brett Favre when his father died, and then he went out and he threw like six touchdowns against the Raiders in that Monday night game. Not everybody's Brett Favre.
No, I mean, who knows? He's had to manage, you know, maybe his wife has broken up about this and he's had to kind of be there for her. And,
right.
You know, and his focus, you know, what do you have to force yourself to be that focused for when you're 5-7 and it's a real 5-7, there's two teams in your division, 8-4. You're not 5-7 tied for first place, you know?
Right. This game, I don't think we need to talk much about. Falcons go into Charlotte. I mean, they had things their way early in the year, and they just have fallen completely off. And the Panthers are just riding crazy high right now. I think it's a 2-touchdown win for Carolina.
Yeah, I agree. I think the most interesting part of this game will be, can Julio Jones put up any numbers against Josh Norman?
That's really what you're looking at.
That's the only thing that would even entice me to turn this game on.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think Carolina's going to roll.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'll agree. Atlanta's looked terrible. There really isn't anything to talk about here.
No, but you're right, Schmitty. That's going to be a good matchup.
I mean, Norman shut down every receiver he's played so far. So.
And he's probably going to play.
But he hasn't faced Jones yet this year. They got two meetings in the next 3 weeks.
Big game for the Seahawks. They head into Baltimore to take on the broken-down Ravens. Seahawks right now sitting in the final playoff spot, the second wild card. The Ravens are hurting. Big game for the Seahawks. I like Seattle on the road.
I agree.
Yeah,
Seattle's been on fire lately, and it's actually offensive football Russell Wilson's got, what, 12 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks? I think 10 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, the Seahawks are rolling. Doug Baldwin has stepped up big the last couple weeks. Rawls doesn't look too much different from Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, once they get a big lead on Baltimore, that's going to be over with.
Mm.
That'll be it.
Senior, ditto?
Yep, another game that's a joke, absolutely. And, you know, everybody's saying that the NFC is coming down to, obviously, you're going to say it's Carolina or Arizona. That's probably your NFC title game that people are looking to, but don't discount the Seahawks. They're like, you know, sometimes a lot of success, Super Bowl loss last year, win the year before. Maybe they weren't that focused and fired up at the beginning of the year as they should be, but we're coming down to crunch time now, and they're looking like a different team. They could be scary.
Mm. Couple 4 o'clock games, only two actually. The Raiders head into Denver as the Brock Osweiler show continues. Broncos won 17-3 last week and didn't score a point in the second half. They're at home. Defense is still solid. Raiders not look good last week. What do you think, Senior? I think Denver wins this one at home, but it'll be close.
Yeah, Denver's really good at home. Yeah, they might be close because Denver doesn't score a lot of points, but the Raider defense hasn't been playing too well at all. Raiders have a good offense, but in Denver, no, not going to happen. That Denver defense is really, really good, and they'll get enough. I mean, even though I'm hearing that both of the running backs for Denver, CJ and Hillman, both didn't practice today, but they're saying they think they're both going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they can score on the Raiders. They'll be able to run the ball on the Raiders, and Osweiler will make a play here and there. And Denver's tough at home. I don't see them losing to the Raiders at home. No way.
Yeah. And Oakland's defense will help Brock Osweiler look like a better quarterback than he is. And on the flip side of that, you know, the strength of the Oakland team is the two wide receivers and the two corners on Denver. That's their strength, so.
And the pass rush to go with it.
It's a bad matchup for Oakland on this one. I see Denver comfortable win.
Mm. In Green Bay, I don't know if I was – I was going to look forward to this game if the Lions actually won on Thursday, but I think the Packers, who really needed something because, you know, they were falling further and further down the abyss, got exactly the kind of win they needed. As a Cowboy fan, I'm not looking forward to this game at all. I think the Packers win big at home. They need this one. The Cowboys are just, I mean, every week I want to say, you know, I mean, again, we talked about Monday night. Monday night was ugly. They just had the ball last. It's really the only thing that saved them in the end. And they have a great kicker. It's probably the only thing going for them right now. I think Green Bay wins this one comfortably. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, huh, though? You're a Cowboy fan, 4-8 and one game out of first place.
I mean, Jesus, God. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
and, you know, okay, that was a great second half for Green Bay, but Green Bay really hasn't been that impressive.
No, they haven't.
If the Cowboys were playing decent, I would think that they could go in there and have a chance to win. You know, they got a lot to play for, but nah, not the way to come. I know they won Monday night, but I watched the game, and they won, but very unimpressive.
No, they were unimpressive, yeah.
I don't see them going into Lambeau and winning. No. And Green Bay should be emotionally charged up after that. I mean, they still have issues. They found some ways to get their passing game going, though. So, I say Green Bay at home again. How can you not say Green Bay at home in this game?
Yeah, I agree. I hate to say it, but I agree.
I'm going to take Green Bay at home as well. I look for Eddie Lacy to be running with a purpose this week after being benched last week. I guess he missed curfew on Wednesday, so he didn't play much last Thursday night. But McCarthy, I read a report that said Eddie looks rejuvenated, so hopefully he's running with a purpose this week.
Hmm.
And Ricardo Rogers, the tight end for Green Bay, he really had a great game last week. I think that might be Aaron Rodgers' new favorite weapon. Devontae Adams, he wasn't as involved as he's been in the past. He still ended up catching a touchdown. But I see Green Bay doing well. On the Dallas side, if you watch the fourth quarter of that Dallas game, he started to target Dez Bryant. And what happened? they moved the ball. The whole first three quarters, I'm looking, I'm going, why aren't you throwing the ball to Dez? How many targets did he have in the first three quarters? Do you know, Scott? I'm actually asking. I don't know.
Not enough.
Yeah,
not
probably enough, right? Probably nine, maybe
in the
eight.
First half, in the first three quarters.
First
really?
Three quarters
had that many. Wow.
It seemed like more than I thought. I got to double check. That's a good. I didn't. It seemed like more, but I bet you it wasn't that much.
Yeah. See, I was thinking like where is Dez? Is he even on the field? I didn't see many targets to him at all.
Yeah.
But in that fourth quarter, when he started throwing it up to him, I mean, Dez can beat almost any corner on a jump ball. Almost any corner. I mean, he's very hard to defend. Just throw it up to him. What do you got to lose? You know, that guy should be getting 15 to 20 targets a week, in my opinion, with that team. And that will open other things up for Terrence Williams and for McFadden. But they don't fear Castle whatsoever. He's just throwing check down after check down.
No, he's a dink and a dunk.
Yeah, but, I mean, throw it up. Good things happen when you throw it to your best receiver. I mean, Matt Stafford did it for years with Calvin Johnson. Five-step drop, throw it 40 yards, let him go get it.
Yep, and let him outrun.
Double coverage, it doesn't matter. He'll catch, you know, maybe he won't catch them all, but all he's got to do is come down with three or four of them, you know, and that's 150 yards and possible touchdowns.
Right.
Man, throw it up.
You might get a pass interference call here and there, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't see them having a chance this week against Green Bay. I think Green Bay's going to put it to them.
Mm. All right, Sunday night. Pats headed to Houston. I got a weird feeling about this game.
Do you?
I got a weird feeling. I have a feeling the Texans defense is going to play very high. I could see this game being more low scoring than everyone may think. I still think the Pats win, but I would not be surprised if they get snuck up on. Probably won't, but I got a weird feeling. Neither of you probably do. But I don't know. There's something off about this game. I don't know why. Maybe it's the injuries. Texans offense at home. I know Watt fractured. What, he fractured his hand, I think. I don't know. I got a weird feeling about this game. Pat's coming off a bad loss at home, hit the road. A team that still is in a fight. I mean, if the Texans were like, you know, 3-9 or something, then I think the Pats going to win anyway. But Texans still got something to play for. I don't know. What do you think, Senior? I'll give you the ball first.
Texans have plenty to play for. They're tied for first place.
Yeah. I'm not saying the Pats are going to lose by any stretch, not out, flat out, but I would not be surprised if they struggled in this game.
You know, most Pats fans that I'm talking to don't feel good about it at all. But, you know, a lot of times when there's games that all the Pats fans don't feel good about, like the Cincinnati game last year after they had gotten blown out by the Chiefs, or the first Buffalo game this year, people were thinking they were going to lose.
I remember that, yeah.
A lot of times when people really don't believe in them is when they turn the table. I see what you said, Scott, low scoring. That's what I see. Because with the Pats, let's face it, with the offensive line problems, I mean, obviously that matchup is a really tough matchup against the Houston defensive front. That's just brutal. And with the injuries the Pats have and every on offense and not the weapons, you really can't see them scoring a whole boatload of points in this game. But I certainly don't see Houston. The Pats' defense is good. I don't see Houston scoring a lot of points on the Pats. I mean, really, besides Hopkins, there isn't a whole lot more to worry about. And the Pats tend to defend the deep ball really well, too. McCourty is great helping out on that sort of thing. That's the one thing the Pats don't do is give up the deep ball. And I think, like, the crazy things that beat them last week, the two special team plays, you know, I think that stuff gets cleaned up. I don't think you see them giving up crazy touchdowns like that this week. I think that was a fluke, and I think Belichick will be all over that. And that they're just that kind of team that stuff just doesn't happen, and I don't see that kind of thing happening 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
I see a low-scoring game, and I see Brady and the offense finding a way to do good enough to, like, maybe 20-14 or something like that, a low scoring win. I'm going to pick the Pats to win, but yeah, I'm nervous about the game. It's going to be a really tough game, no doubt about it. Should be a hard fought physical game. I see low scoring Pats win.
Schmitty, I agree with that.
So, since both of you guys are thinking that it's going to be a struggle, I'm going to go on the other side and say the Patriots rebound nicely, win a nice, comfortable 31-17 game.
Wow. Okay.
You got to remember, O'Brien was on Belichick's coaching staff. He knows him well. Same thing, obviously, it works in reverse as well. But, you know, the last two times the Patriots played Houston, J.J. Watt did not have a sack. I don't even think he registered on the scorecard, the box score. He knows how to take Watt out of the game. That will be his main focus.
Mm-hmm.
And if Watt is not disrupting things, it's a very mediocre defense after that.
Right.
But, you know, with the Patriots' offensive line problems they've had, you know, that's obviously easier said than done. But I think Belichick will come up with a plan, a good game plan for this game. DeAndre Hopkins on the other side, like you said, Senior, you know, Belichick's main focus, take away your number one option. So Hopkins, he may be looking at a long day, double coverage all game long. They're not going to be afraid of this run game. Alfred Blue, Grimes, Polk, I mean, that's fodder. So yeah, you stop Hopkins, you basically stop the Texans offense, and I think they'll be able to get it done against them.
Hey Keith, do you see with the Texans' defensive front and linebackers maybe getting very, very aggressive, that Bill maybe uses that to his advantage, and we see some little dump-off slip-outs to James White? Maybe he's a big factor this week.
Yes. Yes, that. Maybe even some wide receiver screens. I mean, Keyshawn Martin, from what I've seen, he's got some wheels, so if you catch him out on a screen, he gets a good block. You know, he could take it to the house on any play. Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be, a lot of short dink and dunk, with White heavily involved, Amendola. Yeah, and Gronkowski actually returned to practice today. I don't know if that means he'll play this week, but hopefully not. I don't want to see him on the field yet.
They're saying probably not. Maybe we have some hope for the week after.
Yeah, but I think this is the toughest game they have left on their schedule, the Patriots do, in Houston. I can't see Brady losing three games in a row. I just can't see it happening.
I can't either. I didn't think they'd ever lose two in a row.
No, you're right.
But
the sky was falling last week when I was watching that game, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, who knows what'll fall if it happens this week. Maybe the moon. To answer your question from a moment ago, Schmitty, for the game, Dez had 7.
Wow.
So for the first three quarters, he probably had like 4.
2, maybe.
Yeah. Because he had 3 catches, and they were probably all in the fourth quarter. Yeah. So
they were all in. I know he had 3 catches in the fourth quarter. So.
Yeah. So for the game, he probably had like for the first three quarters, he probably had like 3.
That's
mind-boggling.
Inexcusable.
You would think that could change because Dez isn't the kind of guy that's gonna accept that without speaking his mind.
No. Yes, for sure.
We may not see it in the media, but I'm sure he's had something to say about that.
Yeah.
Well, if you saw it, if you were watching the game, he was saying stuff on the sideline. They kept panning over to him, and he was screaming. But he had his helmet on, so you couldn't really, you know, read his lips or anything.
Right.
But, yeah, he was pretty fired up on the sideline. Mm. And on the other side, DeSean Jackson was doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you got two, you know, suspect quarterbacks and some suspect offenses. Before we go to break, let's talk quick Monday night. Giants go into Miami. Giants coming off a thoroughly disheartening loss Sunday, getting shut out in the second half and losing in overtime to the Jets. I don't know if they'll rebound, but it'll be an interesting game. I think the Dolphins win at home. I think that Giant loss really knocked them for a loop. I like the Dolphins at home.
Tom Coughlin is coaching for his job. If he doesn't win that division, he will be fired.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. And that means they have to win this game. I think their offense is better than, well, let's put it this way. I think Odell Beckham is going to go bananas in this game. I don't see how Miami can stop them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take the Giants just because we think they should lose. This will be a game they win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants too, just because, you know, you look at the way the Dolphins have been playing. The Giants have better personnel, especially on the offensive side of the ball. What worries you is if it's a reasonably close game, the Giants could probably mismanage the last 5 or 6 minutes and lose.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Man, oh man, has that been a pattern or what?
Yeah, maybe that's just the Cowboy. I mean, I don't know.
Oh my God. But yeah, you look at the two teams and the way they're going, and yeah, okay. Again, it's, you know, the records. There's no difference, but you look at that garbage. Sorry, Scott. No, you know, the Cowboys at least have the excuse of injury to their quarterback, but you look at what really has been a garbage division.
Oh, the good division's trash. I'm not disagreeing with you. NFC, the division's garbage. There's no doubt about it.
And you look at the personnel that the teams have that are active, and you say the Giants should win the division. They really should. They're really the best of the lot if they wouldn't have given three games away by mismanaging the end of games. I mean, it's just awful. So, yeah, I got to pick the Giants to win. I mean, they just can't keep repeating this nonsense at the end of game. So, I mean, there's no reason they should lose to Miami.
The Giants should be 9-3 right now.
Yeah, the division should be over.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
I mean, and if they don't win the division and it's because of that and all that mismanagement, Coughlin deserves to get fired.
Yep.
Well, I know a lot of Giant fans, Doctor included, who think they need to change things up regardless of what happens for the rest of the season, but we'll see.
Hard to fire a guy that won 2 Super Bowls, you know, you have that emotional connection, but, you know, sorry, Tom, you talk to him and you say, you know, let's do it nice, and resigns. You know, you're old enough that you can say, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. You know, it's not like he's a kid.
No,
make it look nice so you don't have to fire him.
And look like
him to step down.
And look like creeps. I agree with you 100%. With
all that said, though, I see the Giants winning that division, and you know, they are capable of going on a run. So this
as
is,
both
this
you guys
is
know,
yes, 2007 all over again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That team was very bad in 2007 regular season.
Yeah, but you know, I think the difference is this year they get in. Even if whoever wins that division, they get into those NFC playoffs. And with Seattle playing well now, and as good as Carolina is, and as good a team as Arizona has,
Minnesota,
I think those the three I just named, the winner of the NFC is going to come out of those three. Those are three really good teams.
They are really good teams.
I certainly don't think that the Giants. I don't even if the Giants get playing well, I don't see them beating more than one of those teams. You know, they would have to beat a couple of them on the road. Don't see it happening.
Okay. Why don't we take a break here on the Sports Evolution? Great segment, gentlemen. When we come back, we will switch gears from the gridiron to the diamond and talk winter meetings. Where is Jason Hayward going to go? Where's Chris Davis going to go? Some talk in the Beltway about both those teams. And as the winter meetings close, we'll talk about how some teams made some moves, but a lot of guys are still unsigned. More Sports Evolution after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out Scott Criscolo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We featured the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only place to be nation podcast network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back to Place of the Nation, Sports Evolution. Scott Criscolo, Senior, Schmitty. We just talked week 14 in the NFL. PlaceofTheNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The PTBN Holiday Tournament Spectacular continues. Today, round four, the Sweet 16 posted, so get in there and vote on all things Christmas. JR and I continue our Vintage Vault refresh, and we posted the January 3rd, 1987 episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. Speaking of JR, he has his thoughts, I think, on the heading into this weekend's TLC pay-per-view. PTBN's excellent WWE Network adventure continues, and will continue for a while as we post our article, on the episode of Stampede Wrestling from November 12th, 1978. Check that out, too. Glenn Butler has his Wednesday walk around the web, and much more. So, PlaceofTheNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Don't forget, it is holiday time. Click on the Amazon link to the right of the screen when you buy your stuff. We get a little piece back. Help us with the website, and also, of course, check out the our free ebook. As JR and I going through history as we do our Vintage Vault refreshes, Volume One: The Federation Years from WrestleMania One till Survivor Series 1992. So check it out. Click on it. You'll go right to Barnes & Noble. It is absolutely free. PlaceofTheNation.com. Your home for everything pop culture. The winter meetings have concluded, gentlemen. 3 days in Nashville. My team did not have their general manager. So I didn't know if anything was going to happen for the Mets. Sandy Alderson going through chemo to treat a treatable form of cancer. So we wish him, of course, speedy recovery. A lot of guys still floating aimlessly. Jason Hayward's still a free agent. Cespedes is still a free agent. Some of the bigger deals that went down, of course, involving a team that was in dire straits. In 2015, their pitching staff was a mess. Their lineup is pretty good. And now, a couple of big moves, and that is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They signed Zach Greinke, and then on Tuesday, They acquired Shelby Miller from the Braves for three players, outfielder Ender Inciarte, right-hander Aaron Blair, and shortstop Dansby Swanson. Schmitty, I mean, this immediately, and they already have some good power hitters in that lineup, Goldschmidt. This definitely moves the Diamondbacks up the ladder in that NL West.
Yes, I think you'd have to put them right now as the favorites in that division. Their pitching staff, you know, like you said, Greinke, I mean, he's a top 10 pitcher in the league, maybe even top five.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby Miller's a hell of a pitcher, and he's still young, under control for another 3 years. They got a lefty, Patrick Corbin, who came back from Tommy John last year. Before his surgery, he was on the right track. When he came back last year, he had some up-and-down games, so typical of guys coming back from Tommy John. And then you fill in the rest of the rotation with guys like Ruby De La Rosa and Chase Anderson and Robbie Ray. I mean, that's a pretty good rotation. And they still got Archie Bradley, who was a first-round pick, and Braden Shipley, another first-round pick in the wings. So, and I don't think this team's done. I'd like to see them shore up the bullpen, and if they do that, they're definitely the front runners in that division.
And they just got a whole new set of uniforms, and they're and they are unbelievably ugly. But you know, such is life. The Cubs decided to win the Ben Zobrist sweepstakes, 4 years, $56 million. And doing that, they traded Starlin Castro to the Yankees for Adam Warren, and Castro, from what I've heard, Castro's going to play second because I think Brendan Ryan won that trade as well. So Castro will play second, and they'll keep Didi at short. I tell you, the Cubs seem to be all in. You guys both Theo guys, obviously. What's it feel like, Senior? It feels like the Cubs are just throwing all the chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you got to say it. The Cubs, I mean, Schmitty loves them. They're a great. They got a great young talent already, and they're making the team better. I'll ask Schmitty this: Do you think that Zobrist is an upgrade over Castro?
Yes, and I say that for his veteran leadership. Like you said, this team is loaded with kids. Zobrist could be that calming influence, you know, teach these guys what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I really like that. I don't think there's much of a drop-off player-wise. I mean, Castro's obviously a lot younger. His upside is higher than what Zobrist is, but you'll take Zobrist at what he is. You know, he's going to bat 270. He's going to hit 10 to 15 homers. He's going to get the big hit when it's needed. He's a switch hitter. He's got good bat control. He can play second. Joe Maddon loves those flexible guys. Zobrist can play everywhere, second, short, third, outfield. You know, so I really like that. And, I mean, Castro was expendable because they still got Russell. They still got Javi Baez. You know, I mean,
loaded with middle
one of those guys had to go. You know, one of them had to go, and Castro was the one making money. So, I mean, if you look at it, they basically traded Starlin Castro for Adam Warren and Ben Zobrist. You know, because the money is, I mean, Castro is owed about maybe $40 million over the next 4 years. And then he's got, in that final year, it's a $16 million team option. So, and Zobrist is making, what, 56, I think he signed for?
Yeah, 54, four for 56, 56. Yep.
Yeah, so I really like that move. I mean, Joe Maddon obviously loved Zobrist when he was in Tampa.
I think that's why Zobrist went there, I think, because it was down to the Mets and the Cubs. And I think the connection with Joe Maddon, Senior's guy.
Yeah, good old Joe Maddon.
Good old Joe Maddon.
Bring him into the mix.
I think that was the difference.
I see what Schmitty's saying. Well, my question was, is he an upgrade? And probably the wrong question, right? Because probably he's more of a fit.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great fit for the Cubs, no doubt about it. Yeah, a young team. That totally makes sense. And the fact that they're so loaded with middle infielders that, in case of injuries during the season, Zobrist doesn't have to be a middle infielder. you know, you could play Russell and Baez, and Zobrist could be filling in somewhere else because he can play anywhere. And he is kind of a clutch player too. If you get down to nitty gritty games, he's gonna do the right. He's one of those guys that's gonna do the right thing.
Yeah.
And from the Yankees' point of view, Castro is probably a nice fit there too, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a giant upgrade.
Middle infielders.
That's a big upgrade over Steven Drew. That's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is.
Castro's what, 25 years old? He's already got 1,000 hits. You know, yeah, he could be looking at another 3,000 hit guy. Yeah, you're right. Mm. I mean, he might flourish in New York. Yep. You know, he grew up in the major leagues. He came up as a child. You know, and you know, he's had some pretty good seasons. You know, I don't know if things became stale in Chicago and he got comfortable. But last year, if you remember, he got benched. And then when he took over that second base job late in the year, and he was a different player. He was on fire. Starlin Castro was. So I think the Yankees got a pretty good player. Now, Adam Warren was pretty important to the Yankees last year. So, and I think he'll be important to the Cubs, too. He'll probably slot right in the fifth hole, the fifth spot for the Cubs, and then possibly in long relief. I like that move for both teams.
Mm.
I'd like to ask Schmitty a question. I don't mean to back up, but I'm going to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to back up to the Arizona thing.
Sure.
The Shelby Miller trade. Schmitty's way, way more knowledgeable on prospect stuff than I am, and I think it'll be good to hear his opinion on this.
Yeah.
Everything I read said that the price was huge. I mean, I know about the outfielder in Kiate, who was a good defensive player that I believe batted like 304 this year. And supposedly, well, wasn't one of the prospects the first overall pick?
Last year's first overall pick. Yep.
And the other guy was a pitcher that supposedly really high thought of. Basically, yeah. Most of the stuff I read said that the price that they gave too much. I heard people talking about it from the Red Sox point of view about we were hearing that. We were going to be shopping for a number two starter, that Dombrowski would try and make a trade for one. And they said, well, if this is the price for Shelby Miller, some of the guys Sox fans were talking about, like Sonny Gray and the two Cleveland Indians guys, the price might be even higher for them. Now that Miller's getting Miller set, that set the bar so high. How high do you think the price was?
Well,
how do you rate those guys, Schmitty?
Let's see. You got Swanson, like you said, was the number one overall pick. You know, he's got an above average. He's an above average defender. He's a high OBP guy. He's got good speed. He's got decent power. You know, he'll probably be on the fast track. Now in Atlanta, he probably won't debut till 2017, just because they're not going to want to start his clock. But you know, I heard O'Dowd on the MLB Network, the former general manager of the Rockies, say. This kid, he thinks he could have been fast-tracked like Conforto and Schwarber. He could be in the majors next year if he was playing for a different team. But, yeah, that was a big get. And that kid, Aaron Blair, you know, he's number 61 on the BBA top 100. His fastball, he can hit 95 with it, but he usually pitches in the low 90s with it. Mm. He's got good movement on his fastball. He's got a good changeup, got a good feel for it. You know, he's got an above-average curveball. You know, he's pretty much got some swing and miss stuff. Between AA and AAA last year, he was 13-5 with a 2.92.
Pretty good.
So
I was about to say that.
That's pretty good. Yeah, he was the D-backs' number three prospect, right behind Shipley. So, yeah, that was a big haul. And that Enciate, he's a hell of a player. I mean, that kid's got a cannon in right field. Gold glove defender. And, you know, he's another one. He's a high OBP guy. He's going to slot right into the leadoff spot.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely bat leadoff. 132 games last year in the minors. 303, 6 homers, 21 steals, 73 runs scored. He's going to get on base crazy. Issue for the Braves is picking him up. He could be...
Well, that was actually... Enciate, that was in the majors. Those numbers you just read off. I think that was his major. He played for Arizona last year.
Yeah, that was in the majors.
Oh, really?
He batted 305 in the major leagues last year. What I was saying.
Oh, I'm thinking of Swanson. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Swanson. I read this. My total apologies. I read this paragraph wrong. Because it said he becomes a fourth number one overall pick to be traded by his drafting team. But for some reason, I thought it was NCRD they were talking about. That's my bad.
That's Swanson.
So that's what I'm saying. If that's the price for a number two starter... You could see why Dombrowski and other GMs might be shying away from doing it. I mean, that's a high price to pay.
It is, but I mean, with Shelby Miller, I mean, he's still under control for another 3 years. So it's not like they traded him for like a Johnny Cueto who's only got a year left. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
You know,
right.
They still got a young player in return, and I think they had to do this because you just signed Greinke to $206 million deal. You don't want to waste these next 3 years, you know, when he's still pitching at a prime level. So yeah,
he's 32 years old too.
Yeah. Right. So you want to take advantage of these next few years, and I think they did. And Miller, I mean, maybe right now he's the number two, but he definitely has the potential to be an ace. He had some great numbers last year. Not don't look at his win losses because he played for a bad team.
Oh yeah,
he had a great ERA,
3.02 ERA, and he had 17 losses. And now he's going to have a lineup with Goldschmidt and AJ Pollock, which is funny because there was a lot of talk that the Braves in the beginning of those negotiations wanted Pollock or nothing. Here's a guy. I mean, talk about a guy with plenty of Connecticut kid, by the way, with plenty of tools. I mean, 20 homers, 76 ribbies, 39 stolen bases last year. And it turned out the Diamondbacks didn't have to give him away. So,
well, what happened was they said, okay, how about instead of Pollock, we'll give you Swanson. And that's when John Hott said, okay, let's do it. Because originally Swanson wasn't part of the package. They wanted Pollock with Blair.
So. I think the Diamondbacks would have – I think they would have really got ripped themselves off in that aspect.
Nah, I mean, Pollock, that would have been a straight trade, just Pollock for
– Oh, so they – all right. Miller. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know. A.J. Pollock's an all-star center fielder. I don't know if I would have given him up. But you know what, though? The D-backs, they traded from a position of strength because they have four legit outfielders.
Yep.
You know, they got Peralta for left field. Now, Tomas can play every day in right field. We already said Pollock in center. They got another kid coming up, Peter O'Brien. They don't know if he's going to be a catcher or a left fielder, but he can definitely hit.
Mm.
So, you know, like I said, they that's basically the only hit they took off the major league roster.
Right.
And with the pitcher, I mean, Blair could end up being a very good pitcher. But like I said, they still got Bradley and Shipley. So, you know, you can't have a spot for all of them.
Right. Well, that's how the Mets are right now. I mean, they just to talk about another trade that went down during the meetings and a deal that I like a lot. The Mets get Neil Walker from the Pirates and for Jonathan Neese, who probably would have been the five starter. But I think the Mets are either going to try and slide my man Barty in there for one more year, at least for 3 months until Zach Attack is ready at the All-Star break. I have a feeling they're gonna try and work in the spring with Logan Verrett, who was very good in spot starts this past season for the Mets. I love Neil Walker. I love Neil Walker and the Pirates. He's a gritty guy, plays a good second base, hits for power, 71 RBIs. I think he's a clubhouse guy that'll kind of help galvanize that youth even more. I think he'll work well with David Wright. And then they sign Asdrubal Cabrera to a 2-year deal. So they pretty much, I mean, this is my opinion. I think they pretty much came to realization, as much as they love the hometown taste of Ruben Tejada and Wilmer Flores, those aren't guys that can – they're not everyday guys. They're just not. And I don't think they're going to keep Tejada, even though they tendered him. I don't think they're going to keep him around. He was a cult hero because he was the guy who unfortunately, you know, got his leg broken by scourge of the earth, Chase Utley. But the last couple years, he's shown up to camp fat and out of shape and sluggish. So he's kind of annoyed the brass over the last couple years. And Flores just fractured his ankle down at winter ball. So who knows when he'll be back. So this was those were two great moves for the Mets. They shored up their infield. Now their infield's Duda, Walker, Cabrera, and David Wright. And Walker could play some third, too, which is good.
So Cabrera, actually.
Yeah. So the key thing for the Mets is they still need an outfielder. They're not going to get Hayward. They're not going to pay that kind of money.
You know who they were calling? Atlanta. They wanted Inciarte as soon as that trade went in.
Hmm.
They were on the phone with Arizona.
I'll take him.
Yeah, no, right. Atlanta, that's where Inciarte.
Yeah, Atlanta. He went, yeah. I'll take him. Braves won't trade him. Braves won't trade in division. Not for him.
They'll trade him as long as you want to give up Javi.
Yeah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. No. What I think the Mets need to do what the Mets need to do is look at – they need bullpen help, and they need some outfield help. I like Denard Span. I like Ian Desmond. Ian Desmond, actually, guys, here's a guy who who's getting some real love, not only in the as a shortstop, he's getting some love as an outfielder too, which is increasing his value, and more teams seem to be kicking his tires. I can't believe
I'm surprised the Mets didn't jump in on Ian Desmond. That's what I thought. I said that's a perfect fit. They need a shortstop.
They may still. Oh, in that instance, yeah. Well, maybe it's entirely possible. But I don't think they'll sign him strictly to be an outfielder. He's obviously a guy that could play the infield. Speaking of the let's move off the Mets for a minute. Schmitty, it seems like I don't know what's going on in Washington, but they're doing all this churning and burning. They're not going to re-sign Ian Desmond. They traded. Fister's probably not coming back. They let Jordan Zimmermann go. Today they traded Yuniel Escobar. What are they doing? I mean, they just seem to be cleaning. I don't know. This is the Dusty Baker thinking. I mean, are they going to overpay for Hayward? Maybe.
Well, I don't know about overpay for him, but, you know, Jason Hayward is right now the cream of the crop in the free agent market.
Right.
But, I mean, they got Rendon to play third. They got Danny Espinosa to play second. They believe in Trey Turner, the kid they got from San Diego. Yeah. That's the shortstop of the future. That kid's pretty good. You know, and in the outfield, you got, what, Worth for one more year, and who knows how many games he'll play this year.
Yeah.
Michael Taylor, I mean, he's an okay center fielder, but, you know, if you can get Jason Hayward can play center field.
Yep.
And probably at a Gold Glove level, so.
Yeah.
You know, that he, like I said, he's the cream of the crop right now.
He's not a free agent, right, Michael Taylor?
No, he's a second-year player.
Second-year player, right. I think the Mets are going to try and go after Denard Span. They need somebody to spell. They need somebody to spell Lagares in center field. They need some outfield help.
Denard Span, his agent is Boris. So,
oh great,
you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, 5 years, $950 million.
That guy's got a track record of injuries, man, big time.
Yeah, he does.
You know, if a team is smart, they're going to give Denard Span a 1 year show me contract, lace it with a whole bunch of incentives.
Yep. I think the. I think the Mets are gonna wait out to see what happens, because I think they want to bring back Cespedes. I really do. I don't think they're gonna want to pay, but I don't think he's gonna get paid. I think that postseason
Will pay him.
I mean, the Tigers will probably overpay for him, because now that Dombrowski's gone, they want the payroll to be $300 billion again. We'll see what happens. If they overpay for him, they can have him. Chris Davis's deal, $7,150, got pulled off the table by the Orioles today. Now, the Orioles, notoriously, they don't usually spend money. The last time they spent a lot of money was on Adam Jones. Who else is interested in Chris Davis, though? I haven't heard any other names for him. Seems like, you know, it's been strictly the Orioles wanting to keep him.
Yeah, that's the puzzling thing to me, because if you think about who can afford Chris Davis, it's, you know, mostly the big market teams, and they all have first basemen already. You know, you just mentioned one team, though, the Washington Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman's their first baseman, but, I mean, can you count on Ryan Zimmerman? That
first
guy
base?
Is always injured.
Yeah.
Always.
When he's healthy, he's a masher, but...
But I mean, how often is he healthy?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember. I don't know if that guy's ever played a full season.
There's another big market team on the East Coast that... Hanley Ramirez is their first baseman.
True.
Ask about that in a minute.
If you sign Chris Davis, now you're stuck with Hanley, because unless you give him 90% of his contract, you will never move him.
Nope.
If you have Chris Davis, because the team's going to say, what are you going to do with him? You're not going to play him in left field, obviously. He's not going to DH for you. What are you going to do with him?
Well, he could DH after this year. The DH is retired. I watch him hit, and I see a lot of his power to left center.
Yeah.
I think he would be devastating in Fenway.
Well, you know, if the Sox were able to trade Hanley Ramirez, you know, sort of like the Cubs did, they waited on Zobrist until they traded Castro. And to be honest, I think they got less for Castro than they probably could have gotten. had they waited it out, but they wanted to sign Zobrist, so it was like kind of like, all right, we'll take that, and now we can sign Zobrist. If the Sox can get rid of Hanley before Davis signs somewhere else, that would be a perfect fit. You're right. And I could see him hitting 40 home runs a year for 5 years at Fenway. Guaranteed. But who's going to take Hanley off your hands? Unless you give 70, 75% of that contract and get nothing back.
Yep, that's basically it.
I mean, he's right now, he's tits on a bull. Nobody wants you. You can only trade him in, you can only trade him in the American League.
But how do you feel about going into next season with him as your first baseman?
The only shining light on that is the fact that he was a major league shortstop for a long time. So as far as the hands go, I think he can do that no problem. The plays that will bother me is when there's a throw from right field and he's got to be in the right spot for the cutoff. Shit like that. But as far as being around the bag, I mean, if you can play shortstop, you can play first base.
Right.
You know?
Before we head out, and I'll mention, we'll talk a little college football for 2 seconds. One guy that's floating around that maybe needs a starter or even could go put him in the bullpen, depending on how receptive this guy is to it, that's Tim Lincecum. Hip feels good, apparently. That's a guy that if he says to himself, you know what, if I'm going to be on a major league team, particularly a good pennant contending major league team, maybe I do slide into the bullpen. I mean, this guy won the Cy Young Award twice. I mean, I'd love to see the Mets get him and slide him into the bullpen. He would probably come cheap to a certain extent. What kind of teams do you think Schmidty would go after a guy like Lincecum?
Oh, if he's willing to go to the bullpen, there'd be a lot of teams interested in him. But, you know, the fact that he's still out there probably means he wants a contract, you know, a pretty good contract.
Right.
Like you said, he's got two Cy Youngs under his belt, so that's got to be worth something.
Exactly.
To somebody, you know.
Yeah.
I could see him end up back with the Giants.
Possible.
After he plays the free agent market and sees that nobody's going to give him $80 million.
Yep.
You know, and then he'll come to his senses, and I'm sure he's more valuable to the Giants than anyone else. They know him, you know. They know what he can do. But he's going to have to, you know, come to the realization that he's not a starting pitcher anymore.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. You know,
at least not an ace.
Right.
I mean, he could very well be a 4 or 5 on you know, on a good team, but you know, you're going to have to deal with the ups and downs.
Yep. Yeah.
The big pitcher that's out there, there's two of them, actually. Guaido still hasn't signed. And Mike Leake. I don't know where Mike Leake's going to end up.
I like Mike Leake, too.
They're talking Arizona, San Francisco.
Arizona, good grief.
Arizona, yeah. They're still in the hunt for Leake. So,
see. Yeah, and, you know, I thought teams were, like the Cubs were still looking to spend a boatload of money, even with what they've done. But I think it was you that said it earlier, Schmidty. It might have been you too, Senior. That I agree with you that I think the Diamondbacks still have some rabbits in their hats.
Yeah,
they're not.
Well, they got to fix their bullpen, because right now it'd be a shame to go into the season with that great starting pitching and then hand the ball over. Brad Ziegler, he's a nice pitcher, but he is not a closer.
Right.
You cannot go into the season with that guy as your closer. You can't do it.
No.
You know, they have to at least sign or maybe trade for another closer. But the Cubs, with their money, they're right now one of the front runners for Jason Hayward. And if they were to do that, that would give them the opportunity to trade either Schwarber or Soler, which will bring back a pretty nice pitcher. I can see Chicago and Tampa as perfect trade partners.
Yeah.
You know, Soler to Tampa, I mean, he's under control. Well, actually, I'm not sure what kind of contract he signed, because he was international. But I think he's a pretty affordable contract. You know, you could maybe get like a Jake Odorizzi, maybe even an Alex Cobb for him.
Right. I want to throw, before we end our baseball segment, I want to throw this date out to both you guys, and I'll throw it out to you again between now and when the season starts. Thursday, September 29th. In case you don't know what that is, that will most likely be, unless he gets hurt, Poppy's final game in Yankee Stadium.
Oh.
It's actually your last home, their last road game, because the Yankees, the Red Sox end the season at home against the Blue Jays. So the last road trip of the year ends on Thursday, September 29th. Red Sox are in the Bronx. Just want to bring that up since, of course, two seasons ago.
Maybe the Yankees.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say maybe the Yankees dug up that jersey. Remember that somebody buried a David Ortiz jersey when they were building? Maybe they saved that and they'll put that in a frame and give it to them.
Oh, God, that's funny. Before we head on out, and we'll delve more into this over the next couple weeks, obviously the college football playoff is set. Obviously, the tradition is there is only one regular season game remaining. We know what game that is. It is this Saturday in Philadelphia, the annual Army-Navy game. Navy is ranked and very good. Army is not ranked and very bad, like it usually has been the last few years. That is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday on CBS in Philly. So the two semifinal games, number one Clemson, who won the ACC championship game, will take on fourth-seeded Oklahoma. That'll be the Orange Bowl down in Miami New Year's Eve at 4 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock from Jerry's house, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, the Cotton Bowl, which is the other semifinal this year, number 2 Alabama and number 3 Michigan State. I like that game a lot. And the championship will be January 11th at the Toaster, University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. To quickly wrap up the other big games, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Houston plays Florida State on New Year's Day. By the way, the two semifinal games are on New Year's Eve. Figure that out. New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl will be Stanford-Iowa, which will be a fun game. Notre Dame and Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. You know, when I was a kid, the Fiesta Bowl used to be sponsored by Tostitos. Now they're sponsored by Battle Frog. What the hell is Battle Frog? The Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl? Are you kidding?
That's the company that put up more money than Tostitos.
I guess so. Good grief. Remember when the Rose Bowl had no sponsor? Then it was sponsored by AT&T. Now it's sponsored by Northwestern Mutual. And then the Sugar Bowl is Allstate. Allstate's done the Sugar Bowl for a couple decades now. The Sugar Bowl is Oklahoma State and Ole Miss, which should be a pretty fun game. We'll talk more about the bowl games over the coming weeks. Guys, great job. Thank you. Pleasure as always. Next week, hopefully Junior returns. And we will talk week 15 in the National Football League. I think fresh from his honeymoon. We will see if my brother will make his Sports Evolution debut, and we'll talk a bowl, the bowl previews, and we'll try and get on Joel Barnhart to give his thoughts on the winter meetings and kind of get more into the off season, and see where the guys like Jason Hayward, Chris Davis go, Yonas Cespedes, Tim Lincecum, more from the Cubs, more from the Diamondbacks, and will the Patriots? Can we remember the last time the Pats lost three regular season games in a row? 2002.
Hopefully that's not something we'll be talking about.
Exactly. For Senior, for Schmitty, I'm Scott. Sports moves fast. If you hop on with us, it will not pass you by. We are Sports Evolution. Have a good week.